Greetings, friends, family, neighbors, and strangers. I'm Pastor Jacob Kokura of the LaRange Alliance Church. And in this period of uncertainty, I'm really glad that you've taken some time to listen to me today. We're living in a time unlike any we've ever known before. This generation is experiencing something we've never experienced before. And we can take hope in this time, despite all the struggle that we endure. We're not alone. And we're not even the first to experience times like these. Although perhaps it's been a long while in our world, many have experienced times of turmoil like we're experiencing right now. We can learn from some of those stories. And I hope that today we provide you with some hope. What's your earliest memory of a parade? I don't know that I myself remember going to parades when I was young, but I do have a distinct memory of watching the Santa Claus parade on television as a young boy. And I particularly remember watching it with my grandmother. I remember the endless supply of floats and how the television announcers basically said the same thing for hours on end. And I remember the fanfare and the spectacle of it. And now I'm a bit older, I have children of my own. And I know what it's like for them to go to a parade. We were fortunate when we lived in Yorkton to have the ability to go and see local parades. And kids would get candy, and the floats would drive by. And I even got a chance to drive a float at one point in time. My son Judah was just a few months old at the time, and so we weren't able to be outside in the cold winter air. And so we got the opportunity, my wife and I, and our young son, to be in the front seat of a truck and drive a float. Parades and spectacles like that are common in our culture. And today, we're going to be exploring one of the most famous parades of all time, the triumphal entry that Christ experienced as he rode into Jerusalem so long ago. We're approaching the Easter season, and we recognize that this Sunday, April 5th of 2020, is considered Palm Sunday, and we celebrate the Lord's entry into Jerusalem riding on the back of a young colt, a donkey. And we also remember the praise of the people who celebrated Jesus as he entered the city. Read with me the story that we read in God's Word in the 19th chapter of Luke. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Jesus' entry into the city of Jerusalem was a big celebratory event. And we have similar events like these for celebrities in our own time today. For example, when an NHL team wins the Stanley Cup, each player gets the opportunity to take the Stanley Cup to their own hometown for a few days of celebration. Big gatherings are made and family comes. When the royal family in England travels to any of the different countries that are still connected in the constitutional monarchy, like Canada, there's big fanfare and celebration wherever they go. There are events in life where we experience celebration as a nation. For example, the Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship this past year, and there was a great big party around that. I remember as a young boy, probably one of the greatest examples of my own time, when the Blue Jays won the Major League World Series 2 years in a row. And I remember the great celebrations that we had, even as a family, out on the street banging pots together. And I remember also the Winter Olympics when we hosted it a number of years ago in Vancouver. I remember that the Olympic torch was carried from coast to coast across our nation. And that as each small town or big city experienced the arrival of the torch, there were many who gathered to celebrate its arrival in their community. And as the torch passed from hand to hand, there was great fanfare. As we consider Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, there are a number of interesting features in this story that are similar to those same celebrations that we have referenced. But the cultural and political situation in Jerusalem was incredibly tumultuous in this time. Israel is located in a particularly important spot in the Middle East. You could think of Jerusalem as being a focal point. It's right in the middle between Africa and the Middle East and Eurasia and Europe. It's a very important location in terms of trade and culture. And this area had been fought over for centuries at the point when Jesus entered into the city. The Romans took control of Jerusalem in 63 BC, and their hold on the area was certainly protested heavily by the Jewish people who wanted their own sovereignty, who wanted their freedom. And eventually, some of the rebellions that the Jewish people led resulted in a series of wars that ultimately led to the complete destruction of the temple and much of Jerusalem in 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus died and was resurrected. As Jesus enters into this city, his disciples saw him as a hero, as a miracle worker and teacher whom they loved. And they created a big scene, a parade which escorted Jesus into the city like a conquering hero. As people sing, "Hosanna in the highest," and as palm branches and cloaks are waved in the air before being strewn on the path, as Jesus' colt is brought into the city with Jesus on him, we must be aware of some of the significance of this event. A parade like this was a traditional welcome, sort of a greeting given to visiting dignitaries or very important people as they arrived into a city. Jesus was given a celebration that only the highest of high would have been given. It was as if a conquering general had come into the city, one who's returned home after a long series of war. And as he comes in as a champion, Jesus is given praise and adoration. It was the kind of celebration given to kings, reserved for those who are royal, those who are significant in leadership. And as Jesus is given praise like a favorite son of this nation, it's interesting that he doesn't ride on a horse. A horse would have been the normal mount for a conquering general. It symbolized strength and power. Conquering warriors would ride in on a horse. Jesus rode in on a donkey, a young donkey, a colt. Now the donkey symbolizes suffering, humility, and peace. Think of that strange juxtaposition. Jesus is given a hero's welcome, reserved for the highest of high. And he's also welcomed as he rides a donkey, a symbol of peace, a symbol of humility, and a symbol of suffering. Keep in mind that Jesus' ministry to this point was very combative towards the Jewish leadership, the ruling class of Israel. These temple leaders, these Jews, sought Jesus' destruction. They did not agree with the way that Jesus had approached them and his teachings. And they had sought to end him, to decrease his power and his strength. And so they rebuke Jesus and tell him to rebuke his disciples. Jesus is told by these Pharisees, tell your disciples to be quiet. And Jesus' return, a quick comeback if there ever was one. I tell you, if they were silent, then the very rocks would cry out. Talk about a snappy retort. Jesus decides to prod at the Pharisees a little bit deeper. Nonetheless, this parade gives us a snippet of the deep tension that lies between Jesus and the rulers of Israel. He's given the kind of welcome that would have been reserved for the greatest of greats. And his rebuke of the Pharisees says that he deserves it. Today we find ourselves in some very difficult circumstances. Around the world, it seems that each day we find more and more tension. As news reports share with us the difficult truths that many nations are facing, the difficult situations that our medical experts are predicting will only grow worse, we are left asking questions like, when will this end? We're left feeling the tension of our world around us. It's growing, not shrinking. And some of us are wondering when this is all going to blow over, and others of us are convinced that perhaps this is perhaps the most serious thing we'll face in a very long time. I believe that we're going to be in lockdown mode for at least another couple weeks and probably another couple months. And so for those of us who are in the midst of tension, we're left asking the question, as we approach Palm Sunday, how do we celebrate in times like these? Despite the tension that surrounded Jesus' ministry, the disciples heralded Jesus in a celebration reserved for very few. And some of us might be asking questions like, how do I plan for a birthday party? My son, in a few months, will turn 5 in June, and we're left asking whether or not we can plan any kind of celebration for him. The gas prices are so low, we're mourning the fact that we can't even take a trip to go visit our family down south. The tension around us gives us a glimpse into the situation of others around the world. And I wonder, as we look through history, about the tension that so many families endure during perhaps the Great Depression, as an example. How do you celebrate in the midst of economic turmoil? Can you imagine trying to plan for a birthday party? Can you imagine what celebrations might have looked like with the World War of either early in the 20th century or the middle of the 20th century? Can you imagine what the tension might have been like during those periods of times? And questions about how do we celebrate in moments like these become palpable for us. I'm left asking the question, how do we join together as a church? Practically, this morning, as you listen to this message on April 5th, would normally be a communion Sunday. How do we do communion when we're not together? I don't know really what this situation will bring us, but I do know this, that Jesus sets for us an example that during moments of tension, when we pray for the end to be in sight and we have no idea how long it will be, when we approach Easter and our normal celebration practices are disrupted, how do we rejoice as the people of Jerusalem did so long ago, crying, King of kings, Lord of lords, Prince of peace? I believe this passage in Luke and the others in the four Gospels account tell us that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem can teach us about our situation today. We understand that the disciples weren't confused as to who Jesus was. They knew fully what the political and cultural situation that they were living in was like. They knew fully about the great tension that existed between Jesus and the Pharisees, the leaders in the temple. And yet they found an opportunity to celebrate with joy because they recognized the significance about who Jesus was. And as Jesus points out to the disciple or to his opponents, the Pharisees who challenge him, there is no stopping the truth about Jesus, the celebration, and what he means to the world. As we acknowledge Jesus' lordship over our lives, over the situation that we find ourselves in, and ultimately over the world, we together cry out with those disciples so long ago, "Hosanna in the highest." And as his disciples cried, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," we too must declare that peace has come to earth, that God's glory has been made present where we live. And I believe that we need to echo those cries, that the same cries that the disciples made so long ago need to become our own cries, our own praise for the Jesus who is the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. And we need to declare that. If our traditional Palm Sunday day is disturbed, we need to emulate the cries wherever we might find ourselves. And perhaps that's simply on your own, in your own home. Perhaps, though, we need to be reminded to use our voice however we're given it. We have opportunities through social media or through our conversations with coworkers as we work online. We have opportunities as we speak to one another over the phone, or perhaps even as we make a video to share on YouTube. Perhaps we can't head out into the streets for a parade, but we can be quick to find creative ways to celebrate. As I close this message for today, I want to encourage you with a passage from Psalm 16. I read this week and found it deeply encouraging for myself. Let me read it for you. "Preserve me, O God. In you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply, and their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup, and you hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David likely wrote this psalm while dealing with one of the very difficult circumstances that were numerous in his life. And he was at times in great fear for his life, on the run, hiding from his enemies. His posture during those times is an example for us today. And from David's perspective, seeking the Lord in times of trouble was a natural course, but it also paid off. His spirit was renewed as he cast his cares upon the Lord, and his heart was made glad. Today, I pray that this same attitude of hope in the Lord, of seeking Christ's comfort, would also be yours. And I pray that your spirit would be uplifted and your heart would be glad, and that as praise for Jesus would pour from your lips, may there be no need for the rocks to cry out, because together we say, "Hosanna in the highest," for the King of Kings and Prince of Peace is our hope today. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we praise you today. Thank you, Lord, for coming as a conquering king who died on a cross, who rode in on the back of humility. We praise you today, together. In Christ's name, amen.